Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this pod, we cover the late pick five at Oaklawn on Saturday, April 10th. This is show number 115, April 9th, 2021. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, what's the word?
Well, the word is envious. I'm envious of you. You are in Lexington. And we'll be at Keeneland on Saturday watching these races live. So I wish I were there as well, and I'm envious of you.
Well, I won't be watching these races live since we're doing Oaklawn, but I will be watching the Oaklawn races on the TV, and I'll be watching the Keeneland races live, which is pretty exciting.
That's right. That's right. I haven't even looked at the card yet for Keeneland on Saturday, but it's a good card at Oaklawn that we'll be talking about. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting pick five. I'm not sure how much it's going to pay, but we'll give it a shot.
Play in the Sport of Kings NHC qualifier starting every month. Each month, the top 50 players who are NHC Tour members advance to Round 2, which is Breeders' Cup weekend. In that final, 450 players will duke it out, playing all 14 Breeders' Cup races. Two people will win a seat to the NHC, and the top 100 will get Tour points. Join the NHC Tour before any monthly Round 1 begins. If you join the Tour, you could win up to 20 seats to the NHC in free contests. For only $50, it's the best deal in racing. If you sign up for the Tour, use promo code SPORTOFKINGS so we get credit. If you haven't signed up for our free contest with free DRFPPs, go to sportofkings.net right now. Thank you and good luck.
And we have a special fourth time returning guest. He finished ninth in the 2019 NHC. And this year, well, in the past year, in 2020, he won the BCBC, taking home cash and prizes worth nearly $500,000. He's Marshall Graham. Marshall, welcome back for Archie Derby Day.
Thanks for having me on. It's my favorite time of year, and the last of the preps, Kentucky Derby on the horizon, and it's a big day for Oaklawn Park and the state of Arkansas. So really excited to be here and share handicapping this card with y'all.
All right. Well, you know, I want to ask you a question, Marshall. I think it was only like 2 or 3 weeks ago, you tweeted out that you were in a slump, and you tweeted out something about speed winning races. And then last week you finished second in the Santa Anita contest. Did it only take a little bit, that little time to right the ship?
Yeah, it was their big cap contest. It was the ultimate betting challenge. And it was, I think it may have been the same week I tweeted out. I don't know whether I just, you know, sometimes luck goes your way, sometimes luck doesn't. And so I don't know whether I was, you know, had bad handicapping fundamentals and then corrected the ship, or whether it was just a run of luck, a run of variance. So either way, my head wasn't in a good place. It's in a little bit better place right now. And so, again, I'm excited to gear things up as we get to the really fun time of year. Hopefully have my bankroll in a good place to make some big stabs.
All right. Chris, did you have any questions for Marshall before we do the Archie Derby pick five?
Well, I know you really like to play Oaklawn Park races. They're all dirt, not too many different distances. Do you want to share any sort of general observations you have about the racing at Oaklawn and how it might vary from other tracks around the country? Or does it pretty much play like any other track on any other day?
I think in general, sort of looking at Oaklawn compared to typical dirt races, Oaklawn tends to be closer friendly. So the typical Oaklawn move is from the outside, you know, horse making a move around the turn, coming from the outside and passing the horse on the front end. Now, again, closer friendly for dirt racing, right? And so that, you know, dirt racing is inherently speed favoring. So I would, the last thing I'd do is try to find closers in these spots. Generally, horses come from off the pace. Deep closers at a huge disadvantage at Oaklawn, like they are everywhere on the dirt. I do feel like this meet has been a meet that has had where the rail has not been good, especially when they had the bad weather in late February. So they took that 2-week hiatus because of the bad weather, basically all throughout where I was, right, throughout the Midwest. And when they came back, the inside two or three lanes were basically like a lake, and so we're really dead. So, you know, I mean, those races are now a couple races back in some of these horses' forms, but, you know, that's important to pay attention to. And I think in general, the outside is where you want to be, especially around the home turn and coming down the stretch. Again, the typical Oaklawn move is a sweeping wide move to pass the leader. Oaklawn is a hard place to wire the field, especially for cheaper horses. So it's a hard place to go wire to wire. So, you know, those are things that I look at and think about when handicapping these cards. And, you know, they seem to be more pronounced this meet than ever.
Well, great. We'll keep that in mind as we go forward looking at these races at Oaklawn today.
And Marshall, while I'm thinking about it, I remember last year you used some GPS technology called GMAX to track. You were talking about Basin. I think Basin ended up finishing second in one of the Archy Derbies. And I think Equibase stopped using that technology because there were some problems with it. Do you have, you know, are you working without that this year, or did you find an alternative?
No, they haven't been using it this year. You can actually see it in the replays. There's been like maybe 3% of the races where they brought out the chicklets and do the, you know, and count down the race by half furlong. But, you know, I think there's been enough problems nationally with that technology in terms of accurate timing. I haven't even looked for the data this year. So, you know, again, I think they're very promising things about it. I love Trackus. I always refer to Trackus when I'm handicapping Keeneland or Naira races. And I thought this technology is promising, but it's so inaccurate timing wise, you know, Trackus is as well. And, you know, I don't know its long-term future, but I know that's been a source of frustration for horse players and especially for speed figure makers. So I've not looked for it. I don't think it's been posted this year. Maybe I'm wrong, but it has not been part of my handicapping this year.
Okay. Well, we'll see how you do without it. I know you had a great Archy Derby day last year, and we're doing the late pick five at Oaklawn, starting with the ninth race this Saturday. And the ninth race is the Oaklawn Mile. It's a mile on dirt. Every race is on dirt. Purse of $400,000 for four-year-olds and up. And Marshall, what did you think here?
Well, I'm pretty excited about it. I look at this whole card, and you know, it's particularly chalky. The fields aren't great, but it's kind of my kind of card. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, when in doubt, I'm going to press horses that I like. You know, regardless of, you know, not regardless of price, that's certainly not true, but I'll press favorites if I like them. I'll try to, you know, make big stands on exactas or, you know, punch cold pick threes. My initial pick five in this sequence is $3 on a 50 cent, minimum. So, in this spot is a spot where I'm going to make a little bit of a stand. I like Rushy. I like the angle of three going on four. I think these horses typically make big jump ups as they turn four. This horse is coming off a layoff and working up a storm. Worked with CC three works back, 46 half. inside of CC on March 20th. It just says, you know, nice work, tab going, coming off a layoff, ships here. And again, should get plenty of pace to run into. This race looks like it's loaded with speed. Horse like Wells Bayou has, you know, basically can't do anything but you know, run. It's almost a runoff, right? And then you have others, Blackberry Wine, Home Base, even Pioneer Spirit, and potentially The Sound, who all, you know, have a proclivity to be up front. And then you've got Rosario, who's the, you know, best rider on closures in the country. And so I just think this horse should sit a good trip and should get the, you know, typical outside Oaklawn trip. And I'm hopeful it will be longer than By My Standards. I'm hopeful that By My Standard gets all the attention here and that we can get a little bit of a price. I mean, nothing, you know, 5-3-1, 5-2, I'll take that. And set us up with our single on the pick five. I do think that this is an excellent field. I'm, you know, very excited for the race if the field holds together. This is a strong field for a listed stakes. It's important for everyone to remember that hasn't handicapped Oakland much is this is run with a short stretch. And so horses tend to make their moves earlier and need to be in the position where they're really making their moves on that turn because there's not much stretch to run with. So it's rushy for me.
Okay, rushy, yeah. When I first saw the odds of 3-1, I was like, no way. But By My Standards is in there, and he's going to take some money. Chris, what did you think?
Well, I agree a lot with a lot of what Marshall said. I think rushy's the play. I've always liked this horse. He just keeps getting better every race. I thought his Breeders' Cup race was better than it looked on paper. I do like Joe Rosario jumping on board, and he has shipped well in the past. I am a little bit nervous that this is probably, I don't know if you call it a prep, but I think they're thinking bigger than this down the road, probably even on like a Derby Day stakes race. I'm not sure what the card is, but there's probably some race he could run in there. So I'm a little nervous that he might not be completely cranked up, but he should be ready to run. He has been working well. And, you know, I've always thought By My Standards is kind of overrated and overbet. So I'm hoping that will be the case here. He has been working well, and he tends to tat himself in the morning. So I would not, you know, say that he can't win, but I think Rushy is a better horse and a better play in here. I have a little more respect for Wells Bayou, I think, than Marshall does, at least based on what I heard him say. I think Wells Bayou, similar kind of horse, and there is a lot of speed in here, but I think Wells Bayou is the speed of the speed. And last time they actually did try to rate him, not sure why. And I don't think they'll do that here. I think they'll let him roll, and it is that short stretch. So I think he's dangerous. The reason I'm a little, I might even lean towards him, but the reason I'm not is because he had like a 1 month gap in his work since his last race, and he scratched a couple times. So he's always seems to have had some issues, and I think he still has them. So I'm a little bit nervous about that. But, you know, I wouldn't be shocked to see him wire the field, even with all the speed in the race. It will be interesting just to see how the track is playing. And I agree with Marshall. Some of the days I've watched and played Oaklawn, you know, the rail was just terrible. And the horses were all, you know, way out wide on the track. We're doing the best running. And so that if it's playing like that, that certainly won't help Wells Bayou. But I'm going to go with Marshall's pick, though, and say Rushy's to play in here.
Okay, well, I'm going to use Rushy and Wells Bayou in my $48 pick five, but I'm going to pick a couple of price horses to beat those two because they're getting a lot of weight, and I like the action on both of them. The first one is Long Range Toddy. I've had a thing ever since he won the Rebel here at Oaklawn. I've had a thing for this horse. And he's disappointed me, but last year, second off a layoff, he ran well. I think he finished fourth, but he was like behind, and he So he finished fourth at 12-1. He always improves second off layoff, and this is his second off a layoff. He hates the slop, and his last was in the mud. He's never been in the money on wet, so it wasn't like you would expect him to have run well in that last race. He also ran much faster pace figures than he usually does in that race. He was just off the speed. And in fact, he was ahead of Mystic Guide, who ended up burying him and everybody else in that race and in the Dubai World Cup. Anyway, I think that should make him plenty fit for his usual improvement. And he was fast as a two-year-old, and he was fast as a young three-year-old. And the rail, I'm a little worried about the rail now, now that Marshall said that, because, you know, from a ground-saving point of view, it's a great place for him to be because he'll be behind the speed and he'll be able to save ground. The only question is, like, is that going to stop him, right? Because when he won the Rebel, he had the same kind of inside trip. And then he just, you know, he came out at the top of the stretch and won. So, you know, I second off a layoff, and he, you know, he ran nearly his best off that layoff, running much faster earlier than he normally does. I think that he's going to be, he's got a shot, especially from that inside post and the 7 pounds. I'm going to have to like analyze to see like how the rail has been doing like the last day or two. Like how does it do today? How did it do yesterday? The other horse that I'm interested in is Gunnet. He got bumped and sandwiched in his last. He made a solid run, but he flattened out. He worked out really well before that race. He was against a speed flow. So, you know, he finished third. It seemed like a good prep for today, and he's always been fast. He was fast as a two-year-old. Now he's only like 2 for 14 lifetime, which is a bummer, but he's 2 for 16 lifetime. But I, you know, there, he's also getting 7 pounds. He's always been fast, and you know, the Rushy's coming off a layoff, and Wells Bayou has that issue that Chris mentioned, like he was off for a month. So I'll use all four of them and hope for the price.
Jump in, Marshall, if you have anything else to add.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really, you know, it's interesting that none of us picked by my standards. And I'm wondering, you know, I really wonder what the price will be. It's really, for me, with by my standards, he's, again, like y'all have said, you know, maybe a little bit overrated. But he's a talented horse, and he's won 5 grade 2 races. He won the handicap last year. I think it's an unusual move to run him in this spot when the Oaklawn handicap, $1 million grade 2, is next week at 1 1/8. I don't know why he would necessarily be worse at 1 1/8 than this weird one turn, you know, this weird short stretch mile. And, you know, given the potential field for the handicap, I don't know that the handicap wouldn't be easier. So I just think it's a strange move. He shows up here, and I don't like, he could end up on my tickets if he drifts up. You know, I could try to be cute and beat him out of the exacta, but I think he's just probably too talented. I mean, maybe the reason they're in this spot is that he's not doing as well. I'm trying to come up with some logic for why they're here and why they're not in the handicap and what their confidence level is with this horse. But the middle of last year, he ran, you know, 100 solid 100 speed figures. And I mean, he ran really well last year in the handicap. It won the Ali Sheba last year on the Derby under on Oaks Day. So, you know, just I'm really trying to figure out why he's here in this unlisted spot as opposed to the handicap next week. You know, if I am trying to beat him out of the number, I do worry about Blackberry Wine. Just an unusual horse, right? Because it's crossed the line so many times, but been disqualified, was involved in all the Joe Sharp, when they had the disqualifications, when he had the disqualifications last year related to the supplement he was giving that had some trace drug amount. And so, you know, he's a horse that kept showing up in maiden races and allowance races. And has crossed the wire in front a number of times. You know, might get the perfect stalking outside trip if horses like Rushy are too far back. So might be able to make the first move and get past Wells Bayou. I'm not as enthusiastic about Wells Bayou as y'all were. I just didn't like his last race. I know, you know, I know he was outside. I just, you know, he kind of a big lumbering type, and you know, maybe they'll just send. But I would, you know, honestly, I'd prefer, if I owned him, I'd prefer him in the handicap, letting him go a mile in the eighth, letting him get loose on the lead going further, as opposed to this, you know, this short stretch mile. Everyone knows that, you know, that pace is, you know, pace is important. Getting near the front is important, and that pushes up the pace in this race. So I'm a little bit more negative on him than y'all. But again, to me, it's Rushy, and that's, you know, likely how I try to start everything out.
So the one thing I would add just on the rail, you look at the BristNet stats for a mile at Oaklawn, the rail is pretty bad. It's 5% winners and a 0.41 impact value. So those are pretty bad numbers for the rail going this distance. Now, that might have been more of a legacy of the races, you know, back when they had the weather problems. Maybe it's not as unfair towards the rail lately, but for overall, for the meet through 39 races, what Marshall said plays out in the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm looking at those numbers right now, and that means that basically out of 39 races, twice it's been won by on the rail. They did win once this past week from the rail. So, you know, the percent's a little higher in the last week. I mean, one out of six races. But I'm not going to put a win bet on long range Toddy, but I will use him. So.
Yeah. And John Court's a bit of a gate rider, right? And so I worry that he'll get out fast and be stuck on the rail, you know, behind those horses. But, you know, look, he's going to be a huge price. And I think your point about him hating the slop is, it's true. So I basically put a line through his last race and I think it's a reasonable long shot.
Chris, did you have anything else to add?
No, but I mean, I don't really like long range Toddy at all, but I think Gunnett isn't impossible in here. I mean, if I remember right, this is the horse that never changes leads. I'm just going off memory on that, but I seem to remember. Yeah, he seems like one of these talented horses that just has a few quirks. Doesn't ever seem to win. I think that never changing leads might have a little bit to do with the fact he doesn't finish the races off. So I don't think I'd bet him to win, but, you know, maybe he could hit the board at a price, depending on how the race sets up.
I just think that, you know, if you're going to take a shot against Rushy and Wells Bayou and By My Standards, it's going to be today. So that's why I'm interested in using those two. All right, we'll move to the 10th race, which is an allowance optional claiming, 6 furlongs on dirt, purse of $105,000 for three-year-olds. And Chris, where did you land here?
Well, in this sequence, like Marshall said, it's kind of chalky. That's not my kind of card. But in this race is the one horse where I like it in terms of a win bet, and that's the 5-horse Upstriker. You know, this horse has a lot of things I like. One is, you know, it really crushed in its debut as a 2-year-old. It was at Ellis Park, so you can kind of say, well, what did it beat? But, you know, Ellis Park has pretty good 2-year-olds, and that race had a horse, Hidden Stash, who's not bad, where, you know, he beat that horse, and there was a heavily bet Brad Cox horse that he beat. So I think it was a decent maiden field, and he just crushed that field. And they thought enough of him to, you know, jump him right up into a 2-turn grade 1 race after that. He set the pace, got tired, sort of split the field. It wasn't a bad effort. Essential Quality was the winner of that race. And so, you know, it was a good field. And, you know, that probably did him in. He ran one more time, but didn't really run much. I think he probably got hurt, or just it was too much too soon. They were a little overly aggressive in that second start, but they gave him time off. They bring him back. He's sprinting. He's back sprinting now. Gets Lasix. You know, this is a horse that can get ready off works because he ran his best race of his life in his first start. I think he has tremendous upside. You know, there's quality there. I think he could run a really big race in here, and he's 8-1 on the morning line. Now, you know, maybe he'll need a race, but he didn't need a race in his debut, so I'm kind of counting on that. His workouts are pretty good. His fastest 4-furlong work ever was recently accomplished. So Upstriker, the 5 horse, I think, is good value. You know, he's one of the horses you might be able to get at a price in the sequence. So I'm all about Upstriker, number 5.
No fast horse going into his debut, which he won pretty well by 5 lengths. And a best workout ever, 47 Bullet, coming into this race. Marshall, what did you think?
Well, I'm not going to go with Upstriker, but I do think there's a lot to like. And that 81 is a big number, a big debut number. I also think that you're coming off the layoff point is Moquette is much – is percentage wise does much better at Oak Lawn than at other tracks. He focuses on this meet, he's from Arkansas. And so, you know, I think that this is probably what they've circled and what they've geared this horse up for. And when this horse, you know, won, I remember watching that race at Ellis and being very wowed by it, and I texted Ron afterwards and he's like, this could be a big horse. And obviously things didn't go the way they'd like it too, but they're bringing the horse back. And I think, you know, there's every reason to believe this horse will be live. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to eat chalk here and go with Mighty Mischief. I think he's going to be a talented horse, a horse to be reckoned with. I thought his last race is really impressive. Got on the lead, horses came to him and he just pulled away from them with lots of late pace. So really moving at the end of that race. And in the first race, in his debut race in the mud, he was inside, and they went really fast early. So I have that race as the early on, fractions wise, especially that first quarter for that day is really fast. You know, I just think this horse is likely to be able to control the race and may just be ultimately better than these. I know he's going to be, you know, 4-5 even money. And when he potentially use some others, but the, you know, 80% of my tickets are going to go through Mighty Mischief. I just think he's a horse with the future.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with either of you guys. And I'm going to go with Upstriker on top for exactly the reasons that Chris mentioned, but I would also use Mighty Mischief, even though it's going to pay nothing, but with the long shot Toddy opening the pick 5, maybe it still pays something. So Upstriker and Mighty Mischief for me in the sequence. I don't have anything to add besides what you guys said.
Okay. Yeah. I think Mighty Mischief is the one to beat. I'm hoping he doesn't, you know, get an easy lead. I think Upstriker has a lot of speed, and could, I think he could be right there with Mighty Mischief. I'm just hoping he might be the better horse, but he may need a race and Mighty Mischief might get an easy lead. So he's clearly the one to beat. I think there's a couple other horses as long shots that are interesting. One, the 4 Extreme Mayhem. He really hasn't had an ideal trip in any of his starts, and a couple of them have been on sloppy tracks. And on a fast track with a good trip, I think this horse could show some big improvement off his recent races, which look really bad on paper. But, you know, again, one was off the bench in the slop. The other one, he didn't really have a great trip. So I just think that horse might be better than it looks. I don't know if it's a win bet, but I think, you know, it could hit the board at a big price. And then the other interesting horse is the 8 horse. I think you pronounce it Tchotchke, but I could be mispronouncing that. That horse got claimed from Asmussen for $40,000 last year. They gave it time off and they're bringing it back here. And it has some really good workouts in the comeback, and it you know, it could show quite a bit of improvement off of it. It's races last year. It won a couple claiming races. Maybe it's a cut below, but I like the aggressive spot with the horse, and I like the way it's been training. And so it's another one that might show some real improvement in here. But definitely Mighty Mischief is the one to beat. And I think the five horse Upstriker is the horse with a lot of potential that might actually be the most talented horse in the race, but we'll find out.
All right, we'll move to the 11th race. It's the Count Fleet Sprint Handicap, grade 3, 6 furlongs, purse of $500,000 for 3-year-olds and up. Marshall, where'd you land?
You know, I think that in this race, you know, it's really, it looks to run the same way the Hot Springs did. There's a lot of pace signed on with No Parole, with Strike Power, Empire of Gold. I mean, it, Mr. Jägermeister. And so, you know, in the Hot Springs, there was a wickedly fast a pace that set up for CZ Rocket in Whitmore. CZ Rocket was the last mover, was behind Whitmore and was able to sweep by in deep stretch. I don't know that I'm going to try to separate them for the pick five, and that's, I'm going to take the sort of lazy way out and use both of them, and hopefully that just by having a tight ticket, especially singling Rushy early, that will allow me to do this and not just kill me in terms of value. Last time may have been the time for CZ Rocket, but, you know, those two are the most talented horses in the field, you know, to me by some margin. And, you know, every time I've turned on Whitmore, it's bitten me. And so, you know, while I'm very tempted to say CZ Rocket will get it done again, being the last mover, I've just, you know, whenever I jump off the Whitmore bandwagon, he goes off and wins. And again, you know, gun to my head, I'm going to go with CZ Rocket, but I'm going to use both of them. I have a lot of respect for Whitmore, and I just think they're the two most talented horses in the field, and the race sets up for them.
And Pete Miller, trainer of CZ Rocket, usually gets these sprinters good and keeps them good for a while. Chris, what did you think here?
Well, not surprisingly, I'm going to take the opposite tack from Marshall, just because he and I have really different styles in terms of the kind of way we like to play. And I think it shows you that you can, you know, this game is really cool because there's a lot of different ways you can approach it. And he and I, not necessarily from our handicapping, just the decisions we make around the wagers, he tends to be more, you know, to really press horses that are shorter prices that he really thinks are strong. And I'm always looking to try to beat those shorter prices with longer priced horses. And as long as you've picked your spots in the right places, either way can work out fine. In this case, you know, to me, I really think CZ Rocket and Whitmore are cool horses, and they've got a nice little rivalry going, which I think is always neat and good for racing. And, you know, it does seem like the race should set up for them and they're coming off good efforts, but I'm just not convinced that they necessarily will repeat that effort in here, or that even it's a lock if they do. Marshall mentioned there's a lot of speed in here, but I mean, this is how in the year 2021, you see these races where there's a lot of speed and then ends up with one horse getting an easy lead and going wire to wire. And I think that could happen in here. I think No Parole is the quickest of these horses, definitely. And I've never liked this horse a lot because to me, it's a real fragile kind of horse. It can bully horses when it gets an easy lead, but it tends to just fold anytime it gets pressure. But, you know, if it can clear, it's dangerous. And I think it might clear in here. Now, you know, if the rail is bad, that's certainly not going to help this horse much. But, you know, I think everyone's going to be know that he's going to go. And Amos sends his horses. He's not afraid to send his horses when, you know, you got a horse like this. And, you know, I just think he might clear and be dangerous. And at 9-2, I'm not too excited. But in the pick five, I think almost everybody's going to do what Marcia just said. They're going to try to lock it up with Whitmore and CC Rocket. So if you can beat those two, all of a sudden you find some value in this pick five. So, you know, I'm still a little nervous just because this horse is fragile. If he was more of a fighter, I'd be a little more inclined to go with him. But I think that's one possibility that you have to consider. But the other horse I like in here a lot is the 4 Strike Power. And, he's another horse that, you know, does his best running on the front end. In fact, I don't think he's ever passed a horse in his life. So the fact that I think No Parole might be the speed of the speed, how in the world could I like Strike Power when he needs to be, you know, ahead of horses to win, and he might not be ahead of No Parole? And my convoluted thinking on that, and it probably is convoluted, is that they go with Joel Rosario in here, and that's not by design. That's by because Santana chose Whitmore, as you'd expect, and he got off Strike Power, who he normally rides. But Joel Rosario is, he does something that you just don't see very often, but he seems to have a knack for doing that. And he takes a speed horse, he can wrangle him back and get him to finish. And I've seen him do this with a lot of horses. And, you know, Strike Power might be one of those horses. Maybe they'll see all the speed in the race, and they'll see they're not going to get the lead from No Parole, and they'll say, hey, let's try to take him back. Joel, do your thing, wrangle him back, and get him to finish. And if they do that, then who knows? This, I think the horse is sitting on a career best race. I really like the way he's coming up to this race. Unlike No Parole, he is a fighter. He will fight sometimes. And I think a change in tactics might be what this horse has needed all his life, just to get Rosario on board and see what happens. And if he does that, I think that increases the chances of No Parole if Strike Power doesn't like it, you know, if he just doesn't like being rated. So, you know, it's a lot of guesswork in here, but I'm going to try to go with No Parole and Strike Power. The bottom line is to try to beat those two favorites in the pick five. That's the way I'm probably going to play this race. And who knows, if they really pound those two, there might even be a win bet on one of those two. That's all I got. Scott? Marshall?
Did Scott mute himself?
I don't know. Did we lose Scott? Well,
yeah, you know, I,
sorry about I, that. Yeah. I did mute myself. Okay. Well, sorry about that. But so I'll say it again. I have a price in this race, and it's the 3 Mojo Man for his last 8. He's 3 for his last 4 at Oaklawn. He gets a nice weight break from the favorites. And he's going to get first run on these speed horses. There's going to be a speed brigade out there. He's going to be right behind the top 3, and then he's going to have an edge, I think, on the 2 closers. He ran a small best. Actually, I guess there's 7 horses in here, so I'm missing one. But you know, in his last race, he ran a small top in the slop. It was his first win in the slop. It could mean that he's, you know, there's a case to be made that he's in the best form of his life when he can even win on the slop. It wasn't a big slop top. It was a small top. It could mean that he's ready to run the race of his life. He's got good spacing since that race. I would single in here because I've got, you know, some low prices later. So my $48 pick 5 will single Mojo Man, and I'll have a little bit of a win bet on him just in case something else happens in the pick 5.
Wow, that's a bold pick. Got some mojo
and he'll
going
be,
there.
He'll be much longer than 8-1, so I think that's yeah. And it's, you know, I do think that I mean, I really, this Francisco Arrieta, he's been one of the real bright spots in this Oaklawn meet. He's ridden really well. Kind of came out of nowhere. I guess he's been riding at Canterbury and in Arizona, and is, you know, really been, you know, top 3 rider at Oaklawn. So, you know, I think you're right. I think he could get the trip. I agree with you, Chris. I always get nervous about these. Sometimes when a race looks on paper like it should, you know, it's either an obvious no pace or an obvious meltdown. You know, the jockeys read the form too, and might not be as aggressive. And I worried that if that happens, that's huge for No Parole, right? If Rosario doesn't go with Strike Power and tries to sit, and they let No Parole get brave and get loose, and No Parole doesn't look as scary form wise coming out of that, crazy turf sprint, the state bred turf sprint race where, where he didn't hit the board. But, you know, he's a grade one winner and one of only two grade one winners in this race. And so I would think normally no pro would get bet, but, you know, maybe not off that effort. I always find it strange when trainers, you know, you got this horse that's consistently good on the dirt, and then you decide, what the hell, we're going to throw it on the turf, right? I mean, it's to me, it's bizarre. You don't see turf horses randomly thrown on the dirt as much. I just, you know, it's an interesting move, but yeah.
All right, Scott, hopefully you're not on mute again. I think we're ready to move on.
No. I figured you were going to add something, Chris.
No,
I was waiting for you to unmute.
No, I really do think that, jockeys are incredibly reluctant to challenge a horse that they know is going to be sent, and it gets sent right out of the gate. They just do not want to engage early, and I think they all know No Parole is going to fly out of that gate, and I'm counting on them being, you know, they'd rather chase or stalk than press. And so if they do that, I think it No Parole's dangerous. I just tossed the turf race. I'm really glad they tried him on the turf, because I had like a huge long shot that I cashed big on in that race betting against him, but I don't kind of hold that against him. And I do think, you know, Strike Power, maybe with Rosario, he can work a little magic with that horse. He's definitely on fire right now. And like I said, typically you wouldn't want a jockey to try to raid a speed horse, but Rosario just seems to have a knack for doing that. And I'm hoping maybe that they'll give that a try in here.
All right, well, we shall see. Let's go to the 12th race. It's the Archie Derby, grade one, mile and an eighth on dirt, purse of $1 million for three-year-olds. Chris, what'd you think?
Well, I'm going to start this out with a famous quote by Heraclitus, who I've always liked this quote. It's, "No man ever steps in the same river twice, for it's not the same river, and he's not the same man." And so what does that have to do with horse racing and this race in particular? Well, you know, everybody's saying that the Concert Tour cannot lose because he just romped against these horses 4 weeks ago. You know, that was not the same race, and he's not the same horse 4 weeks later, nor are his opponents. And I think you have to take that into consideration. Just because he trounced these horses last time doesn't mean he necessarily trounces them again. And, oh no, why would I say that? Well, it's not the same river, in that last time the jockey on Cattle River, Flandreau, decided not to try to engage Concert Tour early. He grabbed the horse, got rank, backed off, and the race was over. Concert Tour, you know, took command and never relinquished it and galloped off as an easy winner. I am almost sure they won't use those tactics again. So now Concert Tour will be engaged early. He will get some pressure, and he has to go farther. So it's not the same river to begin with. The tide will be, you know, the current, he's going to be swimming up current rather than down current. And that can make a big difference, we know, in a horse race. You know, there's no reason to think, you know, Concert Tour is going to improve a whole lot off of that race. He's already had three starts. He's trained by Bob Baffert. He was probably pretty cranked up for that race. You know, I don't see why 4 weeks later, under more challenging conditions, he's going to all of a sudden run a lot faster than the 94 Buyer that he ran in that race. And, you know, if he does get in a pressured duel with Cattle River, it could set it up for somebody to sit off and finish at the end. And there's two horses I think are no longer the same horse, and those are the one horse Superstock and the four horse Get Her Number. Both those horses were coming off long layoffs in that race. Both didn't have very good trips. Get Her Number got off to a bad start. Horse needs to be near the lead, so that kind of is a toss. And Superstock had some trouble pretty much at a couple different places in the race. They both probably needed that. They're going to be much tighter. Superstock gets Santana for this, replacing Talamo. I think that's a big rider upgrade. is on the rail, but at least in this case, it's a mile and eighth. There's a lot longer run to the first turn. So if the rail's really bad, I'm sure Santana will know that, and he can get off the rail if he needs to. But I think those two will be sitting off of the two leaders, and either one of them could run a big race in here. I mean, they've got the same pattern that we saw with Hot Rod Charlie and Crazy Beautiful and last week Highly Motivated. They're going to run career best races in here. I don't know if they're good enough, but if they get the trip, I think they could run, be a surprise. And I think the morning line's way off in this race. Concert Tour is going to be 2-5 or 1-5, and Superstock and Getter Number will be double digit odds at least at post time. So I'm leaning towards Superstock between the two. I think he's a little bit better. But I think this is where you can really get paid in this pick five if you can beat Concert Tour. So, you know, that's the way I'm looking at it. And I think you could get a win bet out of this race too. I'll have to watch the odds board, but I'm pretty confident the morning line's quite a bit off.
Well, I'm going to go back to Caddo River. This time he's going to be a little bit of a price. He was strangled in his last, you know, I watched the race before that, and he looked like he wanted to run off, and Florent Giroux had to reserve it, you know, kind of held him back so that he didn't run off. Well, this time they've already said they're going to let him run without any restrictions. And I think, you know, he got a breather in his last race because he was thwarted and he gave it up. And it was just, it's a toss race. And now he's ready to run what he's capable of. So the only question is whether he and Concert Tour get into a big duel. That may happen, in which case they may both get fried. But you know, give Caddo River a chance. I liked him in the last race. I thought Concert Tour was legit. I still think he's legit. I will use both of them, but Caddo River, my pick on top.
All right, you had a little bit of a host fail there, Scott, because you didn't let Marshall weigh in yet. But we'll give him a chance now.
Well, I was like, hey, wait, I didn't write down what Marshall had. I was like, which did he take Concert Tour?
No,
I'm eating chalk here. I do think, you know, it's interesting to look back at that, the Rebel, for a number of different reasons. I mean, one thing that was stunning to me, and I've always been critical of the Oaklawn morning line maker. I think that they've not devoted resources to that, and it's been very poorly done all meet. But they were right about the Rebel. It was hard to believe that Caddo River, coming out of the Smarty Jones where he got loose on the lead, would be favorite over Concert Tour. And Concert Tour had better numbers coming into the Rebel. So you know, the betting surprised me. And then the way the Rebel was run surprised me. I thought that Caddo River would get the lead and that Concert Tour would be able to stalk and then move by him in the stretch. You know, instead they sent Concert Tour. Now I think we're going to get a race that's much more like what I thought the Rebel might be. I think they'll go with Caddo River. I think that, Concert Tour will be right off the pace. He's proven that he can stalk. He did stalk in the San Vicente. And so I think he's going to be right off the pace and going to, you know, move right by Caddo River at the top of the stretch. I do think that you know, mistakes were made with Caddo River in terms of rating him, in terms of him being a very aggressive down the backside. I just don't know ultimately once they decided to give up the lead, they were in a no-win situation, right? And so you know, it wouldn't stun me if he rebounded. I'm just not sure that I don't see anything in his back form that leads me to believe that he's super talented. And I think that Smarty Jones is an aberration. I think that, you know, it was a loose on the lead, you know, destroyed a fairly weak field and ran a big number. And, you know, I'm going to go with it. That's the aberration. You know, in terms of how I'm going to try to make money here, you know, I'll single Concert Tour in a very small pick five that I'll pound with a small number of legs. And I'm going to try to, again, get horses underneath Concert Tour, and I'm likely to use the same two I used in the Rebel. Get her number and Hozier. Get her number, for the same reasons that Chris said. I really like this horse. I thought this horse coming into the Rebel was ignored and was as fast as anyone coming into that race, and maybe needed the race. I didn't really like that the horse is going backwards at the end, but I'm going to forgive it.
The horse was slammed in the stretch, had a big bump.
Okay, so I must have missed that, trying to watch Hozier get through on the rail. And so, if that's the excuse that this horse can make one run and get up for second again, we can get rid of Caddo River out of the Exacta and make a little money that way. I don't see any flaws with the other Baffert. Got a little bit of a setup closing in the last race while everyone was going wide, came inside. So even though, even though inside's not the place to be when everyone else is wide and, everything opens up, worked out well and showed some fight and, was virtually ignored at 18-1. And I don't see why shouldn't be able to, I'm guessing their strategy will be the same. We'll make a late run and hopefully get in the number.
I do want to add, this is one of the reasons why I didn't unmute myself. I was looking at the charts from yesterday at Oaklawn. There were four route races, and three of them were won by the inside speed. One at even money, one at 3-2, and the other at 9-2. And the other route, the speed was second at 9-2. So that track profile may have changed a bit. It's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, I am just on that last race, Caddo River was like weaving all the track and wiping out multiple horses, and that, and Hozier would not have got up for second if Caddo River hadn't taken out the other horses. Big Lake would have been second for sure in that race, if you watch the replay. So I think Hozier was kind of flattered by circumstance, kind of a suck up second along the rail. I'm kind of against that horse, and it's a second choice on the morning line, and it might actually go off. I think Caddo River will get bet down below Hozier, but it is Baffert at Oaklawn. So, to me, that horse is an underlay, and I think you want to try to beat that horse. Even if you like Concert Tour, I think you want to beat Caddo River and Hozier, and you might get, something in the Exacta with Superstock or Get Her Number. But I just think Concert Tour is really overrated. I think it's a Baffert factor. The horse has had perfect setups in all his races, and he's had three tries, and he's never posted a big buyer. 94 is good. It's solid, but I mean, it's not anywhere near, this horse is a lock to win the Derby kind of talk that he's been having. So, maybe this will be his breakout race. Maybe I'm wrong and he's got a lot better race in him because he has been training real well for it. If he does run a big race in here, then he probably is the one to beat in the Derby. But, if he runs another 94 buyer with a perfect trip, I'm going to be against him on Derby Day as well.
Yeah, right, my Derby horse for now. So, I regret in the last futures pool, he was 5-1. And I thought, well, maybe I could just, get those prices in the Arkansas Derby and in the Kentucky Derby. But, I think he'll be 2-5 and, all these other horses we're talking about will be 5, 6, 10-1. And so, and I think this will be, he's likely to get a nice outside stalking trip, and maybe he'll go into the Derby having nothing but perfect trips. But, certainly in this race, I think he's going to get a nice setup right off Caddo River.
Okay, we'll move to the last race. It's a maiden special weight, mile and a 16th, purse of 93,000 for three-year-olds, and I will try not to go out of order. We'll start with Marshall. Where did you land here, Marshall?
I'm going to use the two horses coming out of the that allowance race. One sec, let me there. I'm going to use Ardenwood. I'm going to use three horses to close my pick five, but I'll talk about the Mac Robinson Ardenwood That's going to be my main play. That's going to be my win bet. I liked his last race. I thought, he made two runs at the winner, and the winner was loose on a fairly slow pace. Really tried hard. It's got the best numbers coming in, third off the layoff. Should get a nice outside stalking trip. Mac Robertson is a good underrated trainer. I think that one of the great things I really enjoy about Oaklawn is you have these lower profile trainers that we don't see as much with the focus on the East and West Coast, who can get it done with good horses. I liked his race, and I like that race overall, the way it was run. And so, those are two of the three that I'm going to use: Ardenwood and Anti-Gravity.
You want to mention the third one?
Oh, I'll use the rail horse. I didn't want to jump on one of your all's horses if that was one y'all were going to go with. I thought Continental Coins, I thought it was interesting. He ran well on debut at the fairgrounds and then came back at three times the price despite running well on debut, but he was running in a loaded maiden special weight on Louisiana Derby Day and acquitted himself very well. I'm going to take basically the three fastest horses in the race. They all look to trip out. The Continental Coins will be going sprint to route, but as a Constitution over Dixie Union mare, there's no reason to think this horse shouldn't be able to handle the distance. I think I can get it done with those three horses to finish off a 1x1, by 2x1, by 3 pick 5.
All right, Chris, Art, not total chalk on this last race with Marshall. What did you think?
Well, I mean, it sort of is total chalk in that it's a wide open race. He's got the favorite and the second favorite as his two picks. So it's as chalky as you could get in a wide open race.
I probably have the top three favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, Continental Coins is 6-1, but he'll probably get bet. So I think he's got the three favorites covered, and they're all fit. So, he could certainly get through the leg with those three. There is a long shot I like in here. Unfortunately, I don't really like the post the horse drew, which is the 11 hole. The horse's time is yours. It's making its second start. Its debut was sprinting. It was a really preppy looking debut. It broke slow, kind of went wide. It still had some traffic issues. It just looked like a prep. Before that, it had been training up a storm, and now they stretch it out, and it's really bred to go long. So, I expect dramatic improvement. I just don't know if it can overcome that post with Joe Talamo, who's not my favorite rider. But if he could work a trip from there, I expect to see a lot of improvements. 15-1 in the morning line, that's the kind of horse that could blow up this race. I think I would like it a lot more with a better post and maybe even a better rider. But even with the post and rider, I think it's kind of interesting at a big price. The 11 horse time is yours.
Okay, well, I asked Marshall for that third horse, and he took mine. I landed on Continental Coins. He's first route for Brett Calhoun, and I looked it up. Third start, first route, he hits a 20%, including with Mr. Money. This horse has speed. He wasn't quite fast enough against sprinters in his last, and he had an inside tight trip. So he basically didn't have room to get out of there, and he was a little bit discouraged. I think he'll go for the lead this time. Since that race, he's moved to Oaklawn and shows a notably faster workout. Seems like a new horse. He cost $400,000, so they must think pretty highly of him. Now he has speed in the rail, and the rail did win three of the four races yesterday, and we'll see what happens today. So that's the horse I like. The other horses, I'm going a little bit deeper here. I'll also be using Junisandra, who improved a lot in its first route race and was against a speed flow. I'll use the other horses Marshall has, Ardenwood and Anti-Gravity, and I'll also throw in Nomadic Fighter off a bad start and Sakil for Dan Pites looks like that horse could put in a big number. And one of those, you know, aside from June Ascent, the Ardenwood, Anti-Gravity, and Sakil, one of those horses is going to go off a higher price than we think. Because the morning line, you know, it's never that accurate. It's not a criticism of the morning line. It's just that when you have a lot of evenly matched horses, one of them goes off value. So so I want to be kind of deep in this race, and that's where I stand.
Yeah, and I just want to throw in, I think that we've been talking a lot about the rail, and the rail was really bad in February. It's certainly not the place you want to be, but I wouldn't. You know, what does it cost a horse to be stuck on the rail the whole time? You know, part of it is being stuck behind horses, but the other part is, you know, maybe it slows a horse down a half a length, because it's a little bit deeper there. But I don't think it's just a killer. I wouldn't toss a horse that you like because it's on the rail. It's definitely not as bad as it was in February.
Yeah, I am. There's another horse that I think is kind of live at a price in here. That's the three horse reserve, who's another that's stretching out for the first time. It has a lot of good workouts. It showed speed in the sprints. One was on a sloppy track. The other one, either time, did it ever get the lead? But it's really bred to go long. It's by Tis Now out of a Distorted Humor mare. So it has that natural speed. It won't have to, you know, be sprint speed out of the gate here. It gets Rosario. So my guess is he will try to get this horse to settle. And that's another kind of horse where you could see, you know, major improvement in, this race. And it could end up being a big price. So, you know, for me, the price horses are the 11 Time Is Yours and the 3 Reserve. And the 3 that Marshall like, I think certainly you got to use those in the pick 5 as well. I mean, they'll take some beating. I just don't think you get a lot of value there, but they certainly could win.
I think Reserve is pretty hidden, and I think it's first of all, it's owned by the Sella family. It's owned by Louis Sella, who owns the racetrack, and it made its debut on that that rescheduled Southwest Day, and was on the rail right vide inside on a day where we know the rail was, we know there was basically a, you know, the first four pass, there was basically a pond at the rail. So you know, you can toss that first race, you know, the horse's bet first time out 5-1 in a 12 horse field, and Rosario rode the horse the first race, didn't do much on the comebacker, but now they're stretching out, putting blinkers on, Rosario back on again. You know, Moquette wants to, you know, win a big race on Arkansas Derby Day when the track owner is down watching from his little house at the top of the stretch. He's got a beautiful house that is at about the 3/16 pole. So he'll be out in his front porch cheering his horse on, and I think is interesting stretching out, and will be a price.
Is that house on the inside of the track or the outside?
It overlooks the track. So it's right. If you're at the top of the stretch and in the jockey club, which is at the top of the stretch, you can see into his backyard. So it's it's right there.
Okay.
It's my dream house.
Well, win another BCBC and maybe you'll be able to buy it.
Yeah, I'd have to win a lot of consecutive BCBCs and NHCs to probably have to buy the track first. Right, to get the house. So,
all right. So that wraps up the pick 5. Any other plays on the card or at Keeneland, which is having a pretty big day as well? I mean, actually, yeah, there's like 3 or 4 stakes at Keeneland.
Marshall, well,
Just a couple things. I do think the sixth race, the Carousel, is a pretty nice race just to watch. I don't love it from a betting perspective, but it's Frank's Roquette and Edgeway. Edgeway 3 turning or Edgeway has come back this year and ran really well for John Sadler in California. Is now coming over here for Ronis Racing to face Frank's Roquette, seven-time winner. You know, I think that that'll be a great race. I don't really have a horse to plug there. We have a horse on the undercard. 10 Strike Racing has Amazing Rocket on the undercard. There's a Baffert in the race. This is race four. We have Amazing Rocket. Amazing Rocket has shown signs of brilliance. He's a beautiful horse. We spent $500,000 in partnership with Frank Fletcher to buy the horse. Frank Fletcher owns Frank's Roquette. And the horse has shown signs of brilliance. The light hasn't quite come on yet. And, you know, there's a Baffert in there, and there's a pretty good-looking Assyson as well. But, you know, hopefully our horse will show up and has a little bit of a future. We'll learn a lot about him in the fourth.
Chris, you got anything?
Well, first, I just want to wish you good luck with Amazing Rocket. To be honest with you, I haven't even looked at that race, but it's a maiden special weight, right? And is this, can you say, I didn't really look at it. Has he raced? How many times has he run? You know, what's the story on him?
It's his debut in the fall. In the fall, he was working really well. You know, had a couple of really wow works, but then had others that were mediocre. And so we decided to give him time to mature a little bit more, really get mentally in the game. He's physically as beautiful of a horse as we've ever bought and been associated with. And he's got the talent. He just doesn't, the light bulb hasn't come on yet. And so he's, you know, he'll throw in a good work and then throw in a lazy work. And, you know, we don't know. I wouldn't think Saturday is the day, in part because there's a following C for Baffert, who LASIK's on, ran a 77 last time at Sandy. Looks very tough to beat. And there's also a third timer for Assyson. So winning on debut is probably a big ask, but we're hopeful that this horse has a future. We'll learn a lot about it Saturday regardless.
Yeah, I'm looking. He has some really big work. It's 59 and change out of the gate. So, yeah, clearly has some speed and talent just in his workouts. So, and I know, yeah, that looks like an exciting horse. Let's I wish you a lot of luck with that one.
Well, again, we own a smaller piece of it, but you know, when you spend that kind of money, you really hope to get something exciting, and you know, he's got the talent. It's just a matter of putting it all together. And I'm sure we'll have a lot of partners there on Arkansas Derby Day, and hopefully they'll crowd the winner's circle if we're able to get it done. But again, one, I think that the task is pretty tall with the Baffert in there.
So I did have one other horse on the undercard, Scott, the eighth race at Oaklawn. I have a kind of a solid horse that's a slower price, but I have a real live long shot. And the solid horse is the eight horse Digital, who I think could really romp in here. It's making this second off a layoff, and I just think it's the fastest horse in the race. But the horse that interests me a little more is the five Town Champ, because I think he could clear early, and he's the kind of horse that has some back numbers that could win. And if he clears early, a lot of time that's when the horses will run to those back numbers. And he was a recent claim by a barn at Woodbine, does really well at Oaklawn. McKnight hasn't been as successful as he is at Woodbine, but still, he reached in and claimed this horse, maybe thinking about Woodbine. But you know, I think this horse is the kind that might get out early and not look back. So if speed, especially if speed is holding, the five horse Town Champ, he's 15-1 in the morning line. He's kind of an interesting long shot in the eighth race.
Okay, well, so you guys mentioned some things, so I'll just throw in one at Keeneland. I didn't look at the other races at Oaklawn yet. I've been focused on Keeneland because of the contest tomorrow. But one horse that I'm definitely going to use somehow, and I'm not sure if I'll pound her on the top, but in the eighth race at Keeneland in the turf sprint, assuming that it stays on turf, the four, Dixie and Candyland, is circling back to a top that can win this race. 12-1 morning line and may go off higher than that. And, you know, it's not like an absolute, you got to bet this horse, but it's definitely a value and I would expect it to be in the top three.
Does she run well on dirt or in the slop? Because there's a good chance that's where the race could get moved to there.
I'm refusing to acknowledge the possibility that we're going to be off the turf. It's beautiful in Lexington right now, and I think it's going to hold off, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I like that. The positive thinking of a horse player, you need some of that for sure. So let's hope you're right.
It's a stakes race. You got to think there's a good shot they'll keep it on if they can. But yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, they're down to 80% chance of rain, but those are thunder showers. I don't know. You know, I was kind of hopeful yesterday when it rained, and it did. It held off enough for them to run on turf. So I'm hoping for the same thing on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, you know, unless it's unsafe, they'll run the graded stakes route. But a lot of times this ungraded sprint, a lot of the horses will stay in the race even if it goes to the dirt. So that one I think is a little dicier depending on the weather. But I do think you'll at least get the grade one Jenny Wiley will stay on unless it's just unsafe and riders refuse to ride kind of thing.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank our guest, Marshall Graham. Marshall, pleasure having you on for a record tying fourth time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I ate a lot of chalk this time, so won't be able to tweet out any bombs that I potentially pick as winners. That'll be one of y'all. You know, I hope it chalks out, and you know, I'm going to play this six combination pick five. I'm going to play it very hard. So I'm going to, you know, try to hit like $100 straight to pick five, and be rooting for chalk on Saturday.
All right. Well, that will conclude show number 115 of the Sport of Kings pod. Good luck in the Oaklawn late pick five and wherever you may be playing. And please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Giddy up.